Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, getting to know the contestants of Season 2 a little better. And today, we're talking to the runner-up himself. It's Bobby Frankenberger. Let's do this thing. If there's anybody that I can relate to in this entire competition, it's Bobby. Both of us made it so far in our respective seasons and didn't win it at the very end. And that's something that we take some time to talk about today. We get his reaction to not winning the competition. And we also talk about his future ambitions as a podcaster. And finally, we talk about how he was able to balance being in this competition with being a stay-at-home dad. So here's my conversation with the runner-up of Season 2 of America's Next Top Podcaster, Bobby Frankenberger. Bobby Frankenberger, welcome to this side of the competition. How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, Alex. It's been a little bit of time for the sting to wear off. And I know everybody says that and they kind of laugh after they say it, but it did sting. So it's wearing off. I knew it would. It's a pride thing, I think. I'm happy that David won.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that I relate with you more than really anybody else, because here you and I are on the same, we had the same sort of experience. Up until the very end, we did all this work, and then we didn't win. So how do you feel like you were able to cope with that loss?
Well, it was really hard. If you go back and listen to the judging and elimination episode, they announced the winner, and then I don't think you heard from me again for the rest of the episode, because I was like, it hit me like a brick wall. And I think there's a reason I've been thinking about that. You know, I've been thinking about this like a lot since it happened, like, because I was surprised at my reaction. I was surprised at how hard it hit me. I felt like every week I prepared myself really well to potentially go home. Like, I thought that was important for me to do. And like a lot of people, I was happy to get past the first week. I was happy to get past the second week. And a goal I had set for myself from the beginning was, I just want to make it halfway through. If I've done that, then I've accomplished all the goals. Like, then I've made it as far as I really want to push myself. But then once you get there, you're like, well, I've made it this far. I need to keep going. Right. But even then, I was surprised at how hard it hit me when they said that David had won. And it wasn't because I didn't think David deserved it. David's great. I've worked with him in the competition and he's awesome. But I only didn't win 4 out of the 11 challenges. Okay. So that was its own challenge, because every week I'm convincing myself, like, you don't want yourself to get caught up into that, that lull, right? That, like, that you don't want it to lull you into a sense of security that you're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
And I had done that really well every week. Like every week I felt that pressure, and I still felt it in the last week, but I think by the last week, by this last challenge, I think I somehow accidentally convinced myself that I think I'm gonna win this.
Did that build up like a false confidence in yourself?
I've been trying to think about that a lot. Like, is that the reason that it happened? You know, you want to come up with reasons why you didn't make it. And I don't think it did, because the whole time the process was the same every time. I was collaborating for this last week, so there was a lot of collaboration going on. We vetted ideas, we rewrote things, we re-recorded things. It was all the same rigor. I think it's just that's why it hit me harder, harder than I expected, is because I had somehow thought, like, I've done this. I really think that that I've got it. And then the more the judges had things to say about what I was doing, and the more insecure I got, and then it hit me. And so you can never predict what the other side's going to do, and you can never predict what the judges are going to think. And that's the hard part, right?
Yeah. Hearing everything that you just went through was like listening to myself earlier this year.
when I went through this. Everything, like verbatim, what you just said is exactly kind of that roller coaster ride that I went through. This is something that I totally relate with.
And it is a roller coaster ride. Like,
man, yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. If, again, I guess listeners will have heard that final judging episode and will have heard when Justin judged me first. And he was... he's known for being like harsh, and harsh is the wrong word. I truly believe that harsh is the wrong word, but it is harsh. He's just being honest, right?
Yeah, I think sincere honesty to a point where if you don't know how to take feedback and you don't understand really where good feedback comes from, that is harsh. It comes off as harsh.
Yeah, and so he was doing all that, and everything he was saying at the beginning was really rough. And then he would say, like, then he said, had a lot of positive things to say. And then he's had a lot of negative things again. And then at the end he said, and then you were my favorite for the week. And you'll hear it in my voice. This was a 100% genuine in the moment reaction. I said, oh my God, Justin, like that is like, you sent me on a roller coaster ride with that. Cause that's, oh my gosh, a roller coaster is the perfect word. Cause you're just, everyone who is in the competition is doing so well and performing at the top of their game. Like, there are really awesome things that they did and then other things that they need to work on. And so it is every week a roller coaster to hear the criticisms and the praise. And am I going to go home? I don't know. People might not know this who are listeners, but we don't, as competitors, we don't get to hear at any point what the other teams have done.
Right.
So that adds a whole nother level of insecurity in a way when you're listening to the judging, because you don't know when they're talking to the other teams. You don't even know how to take that. You know, they're saying good things about them, but what, I don't know. It's such shaky ground that you're on the whole time.
So. It really is. It really is. And when you said how you felt like David was so deserving of this, you know, win, which I agree, I think David's wonderful. It's the same. It's very eerily similar to Amy and my situation last season, because Amy and I were, and I always use this term, kindred spirits throughout this whole thing. We started out together in the podcasters. You guys were sock puppets together. Mm-hmm. So, and here you are at the end. I think that's such an interesting coincidence that I'm curious to see how, like, season three goes. Is this going to be a common trend where, like, two people from the same team at the very beginning keep going together? Like, it's just really interesting.
And maybe it will be, because you say kindred spirits and I don't know that I would use those exact words to describe me and David, but me and David did think a lot alike. And we learned a lot from each other early in the competition too. He had a lot of really good writing and creative ideas that I was able to learn from. And I think I had a lot of like procedural and technical things, and also like big picture ideas, how things should flow. And so we were constantly, I think, learning from each other in those first 3 weeks. And I think we made each other better. And that very well might be like why the two of us ended up getting all the way through, is because there was just, I hate to use the word synergy, it's such a dumb word, but
it was a very businessy thing.
Yeah.
That's great, man. And you'll see that this relationship with David will be something that you carry on for the next several months. And I say several months because, you know, Amy and I are several months after our first season of America's Next Top Podcaster, and we still talk and we still kind of bring up ideas that we have, and it's still a great friendship. And that's something that this competition does a great job of, is putting you in a position to meet with a lot of like-minded people. So if you at home are listening to this thinking, I want to get better at podcasting, season three is going to be a great opportunity to do that. You know, we on the production side of things are continuing to figure things out with how this show works, and are constantly seeing how much value it's bringing to people that are wanting to learn the art of podcasting. So even if you're a newbie, this is a great opportunity to do that. So Bobby, you know, thinking about your future as a podcaster, what is next for you? How are you going to leverage this momentum that we talked about on the last episode?
Well, I'm taking the rest of the, it's mid-December right now. So I'm taking the rest of the year off because that was a rough 3 months.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair.
But I am going to hit the ground running. And you talk about this a lot, Alex, in the things that I hear you saying in reference to this competition. And I'm taking a cue from you, which is I'm not going to rest too long after the new year. I really think taking advantage of the connections I've made and the momentum I've got is really important if I want to continue to be, if success in podcasting is something that I am looking for, which it absolutely is. I think that it's foolish to sort of say, oh, I didn't get the first place win and think that, you know, David has all the rewards. Like, we all were, all 12 of us were exposed to each other and some other people like Brian and Scott and Justin and Jenny and everyone and Tom and all these people we now have made connections with. And I think it'd be silly not to leverage that. And so I do have some ideas that are in the fire. I want to do a science podcast.
I think that that's great.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I know I did two of the list show things, but I don't know that that is some. I think the long-term viability of that is strained. Like, you could probably do it a more short-term thing, but I think eventually you'd struggle to. It would feel forced, the type of list you were putting together.
Maybe. I mean, I think that it could also be a very seasonal thing, you know.
Yeah. And maybe that's the way that I do it if I don't want to do something weekly forever.
Right.
I'm really interested. The other challenge that we got that I absolutely loved and felt like I was in like my comfort zone was the Daily Show challenge. Now, I don't want to do a Daily Show, but what I did like out of that was that we were reporting on the news, or talking about and discussing and analyzing news topics. So I've been thinking about like a science news thing.
That'd be pretty cool, man. And look, you have a great sense of delivery. I agree with everything that, you know, the judges have said about your ability to deliver. So even no matter, like, I know science is a passion of yours, so if you can take your natural ability to deliver and take the, you know, the host reins and really drive some kind of a knowledge you know, value add on your podcast, that is going to go really far. So I think that no matter how you apply it, whether it's science, whether it's video games, or, you know, like whatever it is that you're into, I think that could totally be successful. So yeah. Awesome. I did want to ask you about, you know, kind of your own personal situation. You're a dad similar to me. And we've talked about our kids before. How were you able to balance doing this competition with also taking care of your kids?
Well, it's definitely a challenge. In fact, I don't even know if you heard it, but like right on cue, my kids in the other room started yelling at each other and she's walking in right now.
Oh, good.
I think she just got, her sister did something. Zoe was going to scratch you. See, this is behind the scenes what you have to deal with.
Oh God, this sounds
so funny. Tell your sister to be nice, and I'll be done with this in a little bit, and then we'll get some lunch, okay? All right, go on. No, you got to go in the other room. That's my almost 4-year-old. Her name is Kaylee.
Oh, I love it. So you have two kids. What are their names?
Yes. So Kaylee is going to be 4 in February, and Zoe will be 7 in April. And so I love my kids. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and that is it was a decision that we made about 7 years ago, and I love it. Every minute of it. Well, okay. That's not being genuine. it's a difficult thing, but it's very rewarding. Doing the competition was really hard. I was really worried about it because my kids are quite rambunctious and, as you can see, like to interrupt. But I talked with them a lot about it. And one of the things I did to kind of, I think, inoculate myself a little bit to the challenges in live recording I would have to do, or not live recording, but you know what I mean? Like recording the judging sessions and things that we can't just like record multiple takes of, like the coaching sessions and stuff like that. I got them really, really involved and I got them excited about it. I told them what I was doing right from the beginning and they were with me every week. Every week after the judging, my oldest Zoe, she would come out and she'd say, "So, did you win?" She would get really excited about it. And it was such a teaching opportunity too. Like every week I would try to remind her, like, because she would get so invested and I'd be like, "Well, listen, there's a chance that I won't and I'll get taken out of the competition, but that's okay." You know, like I would talk to her about that. And
so what happened when you actually didn't win the whole thing? How did the girls react?
I had really prepared them for that possibility. I was like, you know, there's only two people left. So it could be me or it could be the other person that wins. And they were like, okay. But I think you're going to win. You know, like they were on my side the whole time. And I was like, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And so I came out and they said, "Did you win?" Just like they did every week. And I said, "Well, this time David won." And so I'm actually always really conscious about how I'm going to say things because I want to send the right message to them, right? So I didn't say that I lost. And I think that's the wrong way to think about it anyway. I didn't lose.
Yeah.
But I didn't focus on, "Oh, I got kicked out" or anything. Like I came in second, whatever. I said, "Well, David won." And they were like, "Oh, okay. So the judges liked his better." Like, and they were like, so they asked that question and I said, "Yeah, I think they just had, they liked his a little bit better, but they liked a lot of what my, you know," and I just talked to him about it and they were like, "Okay, well you did a great job." And we went out to eat like two nights after that to celebrate the end of the competition. And the way my oldest daughter put it, Zoe, she said, "Yeah, and you're done with the competition. Now you can spend more time playing with us."
Oh man, stab right in the heart, my man.
Right. And so I talked to my wife about that. I said, you know, on the one hand, like, I'm like, "Oh man, I feel really bad that she said that." But on the other hand, again, all through the competition, she's been super supportive and she's been excited to talk about it and hoping that I do. So I think it made me realize that I think she had like a really sort of mature perspective of it. She was like, "Yes, I don't get to play and hang out with Dad quite as much as I did before because he's so busy, but I'm really happy that he's doing so well in this." I truly think that as a 6.5-year-old, she was thinking that. And that was really cool to see. And it was really cool to see my kids be so proud of the things that I was doing.
I love it, man. God, I love that reaction. I love everything that your kids are doing to like celebrate with you and the way you're handling all that. I'll have to have you on the Dad Chronicle. We have to talk a little bit more about that in more detail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's end this interview with the typical question I like to ask folks, and I'm very interested in hearing, you know, what was your biggest surprise now that you're on the other end of this thing?
I have two, the one that I thought I would say, and then the one that I realized after the last judging and elimination. So I've said a little bit of the latter, which is I was surprised at how hard I took it. I kind of like intellectually and logically, you tell yourself over and over again that, you know, you should be very proud that you've made it this far. Like literally I was in the competition as long as you could be, whether I won or didn't in that last week. Like there's no more of it, you know?
So that's right,
I was in it for as long as I could be.
That's right.
I just didn't get crowned the first place at the end, but I still got second place. And so logically you tell yourselves and you prepare yourself, And I'm still like talking to myself about those things.
And by the way, I told Brian this. I said, you know, when we finished season one, I said, "I am the only contestant that didn't win and also didn't get sent home." You know, yeah. Like it's kind of like one of those funny, you didn't have to feel, it's a different type of sting rather than like knowing, hey, the competition's still going to go on without you. It's like, you still made it to the end. It's, it's a weird predicament.
It's funny that you say that because in a lot of ways, cause I thought about that as well. And then it made me feel guilty for being so upset about not winning because I thought there's 10 other people right. who were really good and just as invested
right.
who didn't get to keep going.
Right.
And I did. So I think thinking about that also helped me though. And saying, making me realize how fortunate I was to be able to make it as far as I did. So the surprise is really not how hard it took me, but the deeper thing was the surprise of realizing how much like stubborn pride I had. And because that's, I think, what was hitting me so hard is just this, it was like a blow to my ego that somehow got, that I entered the competition having none of, and the competition built up for me. And that was such another great benefit of this competition for me is I didn't know that I could do any of this. I'd done podcasting before, but sort of like within my own very small insular group with not a very big audience and getting not a lot of feedback. When you have a small audience, you don't get a lot of feedback.
Right.
And then the feedback you do get is just from like family and friends who are always telling you that you're doing good with whatever you're doing. so you have that like little voice in your head saying like, okay, yeah, they don't mean that. Which is another problem, right? Which this competition helped me deal with because it was, I didn't know that I was any good at it. You said, you were talking about the delivery that I have for certain things. I thought I was doing good and I practiced at that, but I had no like, no way to compare myself, like have someone, like judges saying to me that when compared to other people that you're doing a really great job. And so it was an ego that got built up. And in a lot of ways, I think it was good that maybe that I didn't win because it was, maybe there was a risk, maybe there was a danger of that being like a bad ego getting built up and then someone tamping it down every few rounds saying, okay, don't get too full of yourself there, Bobby.
That's a really funny, yeah, that's a really interesting perspective because, yeah, you know, if there was this energy being built of, hey, I'm the best, and then all of a sudden you're able to be kicked down a notch, I almost think that's more valuable than winning the whole thing because you have to be rooted in this sense of constant learning. You're constantly a student, you know? And
if you're not able every single episode, if you can't walk away looking for something like in your regular podcast, if you can't walk away and see something that can be improved, then you're not doing it. I feel like you're not doing it right. And you're not going to improve.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You've got to have that humility. And so maybe you're right. Maybe not getting the, like, look, I'm looking for reasons why I got it better in the end anyway. but no, I don't think anybody did. Me or, you know, like I don't know. I could go back and forth around in circles over and over again about it's not good or bad.
Exactly.
I think that's the real thing.
It's all about how you make it. It's all about a matter of perspective. And I think that you've got a wonderful perspective on it all. So kudos to you. Congratulations on making it to second place because I think now you and I know better than anybody else what value that this brings to you as a podcaster and you know this creative endeavor that you and I share here. So let's end the thing with where people can reach you. Do you want to share some of that?
Yeah, sure. I've got a lot of dead podcasts out there. I kind of put the only one I was still working on out to pasture to do this competition. It was called JBYC. You can find that on. This the letters JBYC, and that was just a fun talk show that I did with no real focus. It was just for fun. But the main thing that I actively work on is a Twitch channel called the Shadowcasters Network, and we have a website shadowcasters.network, or it's on Twitch at Shadowcasters Network, and we do a lot of tabletop RPGs and board game stuff. I'm more in the board game side of things, but I do a lot of tabletop RPG streaming, and we're always trying to do better with that and put on cool shows of just different independent indie RPG game tabletop RPGs. And I've got a new show that I'm going to be working on there, so stay tuned for that, called Once Upon a Tabletop.
Love
where
it.
Where we role play the action at a board game table. So
that, I love that. Very cool. I'll have to keep an eye on that. So yeah, go follow Bobby and everything he's doing. Again, our guest today has been Bobby Frankenberger. Congratulations again. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alex.
There you have it, folks. Our runner-up of America's Next Top Podcaster Season 2. That was Bobby Frankenberger. Bobby, thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts, your reflections on Season 2. It is great to hear the enthusiasm, the positivity coming out of this, especially, I get this. You lost at the very last minute, but yet you are extremely optimistic about the future, which I would be if I were in your shoes, because you are a natural, Bobby. Thank you again, and looking forward to hearing more of what you have in store. And as far as the next conversations go, nobody else to talk to except our winner, David Luzader, which you will be hearing soon. But until then, if there's any time that you want to reach out to us here on the production side, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. And remember that you can become a patron of the show by heading over to patreon.com/toppodcaster. Remember that we have limited edition lanyards for the first 75 people to become patrons at the $5 a month or more level between now and January 15th. So make sure that you take advantage of that. You also get a season one pass, lots of great exclusive stuff. So make sure that you head over to patreon.com/toppodcaster. This has been Alex Albisu filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcasting contestant segment. We'll see you next time.